take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Hey! Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, September 10th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We got a jam-packed 2 hours for you with the best in marijuana news, interviews, reviews, analysis, music, comedy, data, and more. Plenty of stuff to get to. Like I said today, it's jam-packed. And earlier today, I had the opportunity of interviewing with Kyle Eboshi, reporter from KGW News here in Portland, Oregon, which, by the way, KGW is my favorite NBC affiliate in Portland. Anyway, KGW is doing a special report that should be out a week from this Monday on Oregon still receiving federal dollars for marijuana eradication programs, you know, where they send the cops out to go weeding in the forest at the taxpayers' expense. And they're doing a special expose on that. They wanted my opinions on whether or not it was even worth continuing to eradicate weeds in the forest. So we'll let you know more about that when it appears here on the Portland News Media. We'll send the links out as well. Coming up on today's show, it's Thursday, so we got another example of our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment. And joining us today, the law enforcement officer who managed to get a pro-legalization op-ed posted on DARE, the Drug Abuse Resistance Education anti-marijuana website for kids. The former deputy sheriff's name is Carlos McDermott. He'll be joining us at half past to talk about his op-ed and what's happening in his home state of Ohio with respect to marijuana legalization. Also coming up on the show today, we've got some data, ladies and gentlemen. The National Survey on Drug Use and Health from the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration has been released today. The numbers for 2014 are out, and we now know, after a year's worth of retail legalization in the states of Colorado and Washington, how has that affected the marijuana use among the teens? You remember Kevin Samet and all those guys said the kids would get the wrong message. They'd get the message that marijuana was safe, and suddenly they'd all start using it. We'll take a look at what the data are actually showing us here in the Radical Rant at the end of the show. Speaking of data, we've got other data coming in from the early primary states of Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina on what they think the federal government should do about marijuana legalization. The poll numbers don't bode well for some Republican candidates, including Chris Christie and Marco Rubio. We'll tell you all about that in the Drug War Data Mines. In Behind the Headlines today, we're going to take a look at the science that the anti-marijuana speakers will be unleashing in Arizona. You remember the Kevin Samet marijuana education tour from 2014? Well, the anti-marijuana folks are trying the same tactics in the state of Arizona. Coming up in a couple weeks, they're putting together a all-day speaker seminar on the dangers of marijuana, and they're paying for it with taxpayer dollars. We'll get to that in Behind the Headlines, but first, we've got the 420 Radio News. And in the headlines today, we've got a poll out of Michigan on marijuana legalization, some data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, California may finally regulate medical marijuana statewide, investigations on pesticides in Colorado, and a Massachusetts woman suing for her right to work while being a medical marijuana patient. All that coming up on the Russ Melville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups.
Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, producer of the fourth Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, the OMMBC. There have been a lot of recent changes to Oregon cannabis laws. Recreational sales start October 1st, new licensing from the state, and changes to medical marijuana. Are you prepared? Join us at the downtown Portland Hilton September 12th and 13th with the industry's top cannabis experts, political leaders, exhibitors, and nightly networking events. For more information, join us online or give us a call. The OMMBC. Be part of history.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, September 10th, 2015. A majority of Michigan voters want to legalize recreational marijuana, but they can't agree on how to make it happen, according to a new poll. Nearly 56% of Michigan voters supported legalization efforts, while 40% were against legal marijuana, a Michigan Public Radio poll released Thursday found. Among the 56% that want legal recreational marijuana, voters expressed differences in how they felt the state should go about implementing the change. Nearly 27% backed the state taxing and controlling recreational marijuana, with home growing of the plant allowed. About 21% supported state taxes and controls with a limited number of growers. Almost 8% backed local taxes, controls, and distribution. The two main marijuana legalization advocacy groups, MI Legalize and the Michigan Cannabis Coalition, must each earn 252,523 signatures by Christmas to land a spot on the ballot. Adolescents last year were using tobacco and alcohol less than in the past, but they are experiencing more depression. Those were among the findings of the 2014 National Survey on Drug Use and Health from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The survey found that the percentage of adolescents aged 12 to 17 who said they had used tobacco in the previous month declined from 15.2% in 2002 to 7% in 2014. And the number who used alcohol fell from 17.6% to 11.5% over the same period. Inappropriate use of prescription pain relievers also dropped in this age group from 3.2% in 2002 to 1.9% in 2014. Marijuana remains the most commonly used illicit drug, with 8.4% of people aged 12 and older using the drug, compared with 7.5% in 2013, but the increase was primarily among people aged 26 and older. California lawmakers, for the first time in the state's history, could be set to regulate its booming, popular, multi-billion dollar medical cannabis industry. Insiders say the governor's office and the heads of the Senate and Assembly convened Wednesday to figure out who should get credit for the piece of landmark legislation. Once the issue is sorted out, the latest versions of the bills could be released, and the Senate and Assembly could swiftly vote to send the bills to Governor Jerry Brown's desk for signature as late as midnight Friday. No one knows the exact final text of the regulations, but they would be based on amendments to language released by the governor last week, which incorporates 2 years of legislative work. A rough picture of regulations in California has begun to emerge, with a robust, albeit highly regulated industry of licensed growers, distributors, and stores, a tracking system for cannabis, and consumer safety protections. Colorado agriculture officials have opened an investigation into a marijuana grow operation named in a report by the Denver Post about pesticide residues, and they confirmed a second business named in the story was already under scrutiny. It is unclear which of the two companies, Mahatma Concentrates or Treatments Unlimited, both in Denver, was already under scrutiny, and officials with the Colorado Department of Agriculture would not elaborate. But the agency said investigations into the business's use of pesticides is the focus of its probe. Penalties on the growers could range from a simple order to stop the prohibited conduct to fines of up to $1,000 for each violation. Under the act, repeat offenders' fines are doubled and chronic offenders face potential license sanctions. CDA's announcement on Wednesday came a day after the Denver Department of Environmental Health issued a broad recall of Mahatma products following a visit to that shop. A Massachusetts woman who says she was fired from work for using marijuana legally obtained to treat Crohn's disease has sued her former employer. Christina Barbuto said in court papers that she told the Irvine, California-based Advantage Sales and Marketing, before she was hired, that she had obtained written certification from her doctor to purchase marijuana under Massachusetts' 2012 voter-approved law. Barbuto said the drug helps counter the effects of the disease and helps her gain and maintain weight. The lawsuit said she warned the company ahead of time that she would test positive for marijuana and was told by company officials that her use of it wouldn't be a problem. But after her first day on the job last year, when she tested positive for marijuana in a drug test, she was fired, the suit alleges. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, September 10th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo!
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Around this time last year, as we were getting set to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon, Kevin Sabet was brought in by county sheriffs, district attorneys, and rehab programs to tour our state. The alleged purpose of the tour was merely to provide citizens with scientific information about cannabis. But given that their headline speaker formed America's most visible anti-marijuana organization, Project SAM, and was dubbed by Rolling Stone as the quarterback of the anti-legalization movement, Congressman Earl Blumenauer and other critics, like myself, questioned whether taxpayer money was basically funding a campaign in opposition to the marijuana legalization ballot initiative. Well, now, the Phoenix New Times reports that similar shenanigans are afoot with taxpayer-funded Arizona anti-marijuana speakers, as the state currently has two campaigns working to legalize marijuana statewide in 2016. A supposed educational event entitled Marijuana, the Science and the Experiment, will take place from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Tuesday, September 22nd at the Black Canyon Conference Center in Phoenix. New Times writes, quote, hosted by the Marijuana Harmless Think Again campaign, an offshoot of the Yavapai County Substance Abuse Program MatForce, led by Yavapai County Attorney Sheila Polk, the event is expected to bring in business and healthcare professionals, substance abuse specialists, law enforcement types, and interested community members. Don't expect a neutral presentation, though. The target is not necessarily truth, but achieving the political and non-scientific goal of thwarting legalization. The organizers and most of the speakers are staunch prohibitionists. End quote. Indeed, the lineup features some of the most reefer-mad prohibitionists in America, most of whom have strong financial incentive to maintain the status quo of prohibition. But jumping out to me on the list were two of the scheduled speakers, whom I've blogged about in the past. They're both from Denver, Colorado, and here is some of the science they have to offer. First of all, you get Dr. Christian Thurstone, MD. He's the medical director of Denver's Adolescent Substance Abuse Treatment, Education, and Prevention Program, otherwise known as a rehabber, somebody who makes a living because people caught with pot are forced to go to rehab. Dr. Thurstone published a chart in 2013 showing the incredible rise in the levels of active THC found in the urine of adolescents admitted for rehab in Denver, going from an average of 358 nanograms per milliliter to 536 nanograms per milliliter. Now, if that sentence caught you wondering what the hell, let me follow up on that. Because given that, one, it's THC metabolites that you detect in urine, not active THC. Two, active THC is detected through blood tests. And three, the presumptive impairment limit for active THC in blood in Colorado is 5 nanograms per milliliter. So Christian Thurstone wants you to believe that kids went from being 70 times the active level that would make you a stone driver to 100 times the active level that would make you a stone driver after legalization. Now, of course, all of us who know anything about the science realize he was talking about inactive marijuana metabolites, and a commenter on his blog actually gave him a chance for an out, asking, quote, I'd be interested to know whether those urinalysis results were for actual THC or for THC metabolites. Dr. Thurstone replied, quote, thanks for writing. Good question. We were measuring THC. End quote. And Dr. Thurstone closed his post by wondering, it is reasonable now to question how much longer it will be before we see injection use of THC, especially as marijuana is legalized, end quote. Thurstone also had a negative reaction to Dr. Carl Hart and Dr. Julie Holland, both who've been guests on this show, and their appearance in Dr. Sanjay Gupta's weed documentary by saying that they were not, quote, true experts, that they were, quote, not self-proclaimed experts. Yeah, well, you can look up Dr. Carl Hart and Dr. Julie Holland and judge for yourself if they are true experts on the fields of addiction and drug use. The other speaker appearing at the Arizona event is Christine Tatum. She's the co-author of the book Clearing the Haze, Helping Families Face Teen Addiction, and she's the wife of Dr. Christian Thurstone. That's right, Christian and Christine. Now, Tatum believes that marijuana may be to blame for some of the high-profile domestic terrorism and mass shooting incidents in America. Upon the capture of Boston bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, Tatum wrote, quote, we must start asking hard questions about marijuana use and these violent outbursts. In some people, marijuana use induces psychosis, paranoia, and aggression. The science is there. The connection is real. End quote. Now, when I and other folks called her on that egregious outburst, Tatum doubled down, writing, quote, look at the science. Inquire. Connect these dots if it's appropriate. Congressperson Gabby Gifford's assailant, Jared Loughner. Aurora movie theater shooter, James Holmes. Columbine school shooters, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris. Rudy Eugene, the Miami face eater. It is time for us to look long and hard at the THC levels in our prison population. End quote. And in another incident, Tatum lamented the terrible customer service at a Denver area Lowe's home improvement warehouse. It turned out the store was understaffed because they can't find enough workers who will take and pass a piss test, now that Colorado has recognized a constitutional right to marijuana. Wonder of wonders, Tatum writes, quote, Lowe's doesn't want people acutely or subacutely under the influence of marijuana operating forklifts, using circular saws, cutting ceramic tiles, driving company trucks, or cleaning its toilets, end quote.
Maybe we should start at 420, right? Marijuana reference.
And when these prohibitionists say subacutely, what they're referring to is that even though you're not high on active THC in your bloodstream, the mere presence of inactive marijuana metabolites in your system still means you're impaired. Apparently so impaired, you can't be trusted to clean a toilet. That's some of the science you're going to get with your taxpayer dollars in the state of Arizona.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific for Planet Green Trees, podcasting at planetgreentrees.com. The best resource for everything related to Michigan medical marijuana with your host, attorney Michael Comorn. Check our online listings for Planet Green Trees with Michael Comorn from planetgreentrees.com.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National, Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Big shout out goes to Tom Angel and MarijuanaMajority.com. He's commissioned questions on the latest public policy polling in the early primary state of South Carolina, following up on questions he got asked in the Iowa and New Hampshire polls. And according to the poll, voters in the early 2016 primary state want the next president to respect the states that legalize marijuana. They found 65% of voters in South Carolina believe, quote, states should be able to carry out their own marijuana laws without federal interference, end quote. By comparison, only 16% think, quote, the federal government should arrest and prosecute people who are following state marijuana laws. Now, in polls like this across the country, typically when you break it down by political demographics, you find Democrats far more in support of the issue than Republicans. But South Carolina has bucked this trend. 66% of Republican voters believe the federal government should not interfere with state marijuana laws. Only 59% of Democrats said the same. More support for Republicans for the state's rights to marijuana legalization than from Democrats, and among independents, 73%. Now, this does not bode well for some of the presidential candidates making their way through the primary process that are going to have to hit Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. Now, we have Ben Carson, the former or the current GOP presidential contender, the co-leader of the race right at the moment with Donald Trump, who has said that because the drug lowers intelligence, states should not be able to set their own policy. Chris Christie and Marco Rubio have gone as far as to say they would use the power of the federal government to shut down the legalization that's already taking place in Colorado and Washington. Now, the survey was 1,115 voters. This was September 3rd through the 6th, plus or minus 2.9 percentage points on the error margin. And it's not just South Carolina where some of these anti-pot Republicans, and for that matter, people like Hillary Clinton, are going to have some difficulty at the polls in these primary states. Public policy polling conducted some polls back at the end of August that found that 71% of Iowa voters think that states should be able to carry out their own marijuana laws without federal interference. In New Hampshire, that number is 73%. So we're talking about 65% South Carolina, 71% Iowa, 73% New Hampshire, calling for the end of federal interference in the states that are wanting to legalize marijuana. It's 80% of Democrats in Iowa compared to 64% of Republicans. It's 77% of Democrats in New Hampshire compared to 67% of the Republicans. But what that tells us is in the three primary states, just about two-thirds of Republicans don't think that the federal government should be interfering in the states that legalize marijuana. Not good news for Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, and Chris Christie. And we also have a post, an excellent post up on marijuanapolitics.com from Roman Bonilla, who writes about the ties between Hillary Clinton and the private prison industry and how she would probably not be the candidate who would bring a screeching halt to the war on drugs. And for those of us who are in support of Bernie Sanders, the progressive candidate from Vermont, the independent senator, the latest polls show that he has overtaken Hillary Clinton, a lead over Hillary Clinton in the state of Iowa and in the state of New Hampshire. We have yet to see how the polls turn out in South Carolina for Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie Sanders is making inroads with many of the people that make up the base of the Democratic Party. Also, many in the marijuana reform movement are beginning to move over to the Sanders camp, believing, again, Hillary Clinton is too beholden to the prison industrial complex and Wall Street to make any substantive changes in marijuana policy. She also finds herself behind the curve of history in not having evolved her position on marijuana legalization, where other candidates are beginning to offer much more friendly positions and policies for those of us seeking an end to adult marijuana prohibition. Encourage everyone to check out marijuanapolitics.com for some of these articles. The presidential race looms large in 2016, with Ohio on the ballot in 2015, Nevada already on the ballot in 2016, the possibility of adding California, Arizona, Michigan, Maine, Massachusetts, maybe even Missouri for the 2016 election. It will be impossible for these candidates to be able to go through the primary season without addressing the legality of marijuana in the United States. So we will bring you that information and all the politics that are happening around the issue just as soon as we can, as soon as we get more information here on 420 Radio. And also coming up, we want to remind you that the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference takes place this weekend. I will be off tomorrow, no live show tomorrow, because I will be getting ready at the event. And the conference runs Saturday and Sunday here in Portland, Oregon at the Hilton. We'll have interviews and audio for you on next week's shows. Now stay tuned, folks. Coming up next, we've got our law enforcement against prohibition speaker who will be joining us to talk a little bit about the state of Ohio and the op-ed that he had put forth that got published, of all places, on DARE's website. It's former Deputy Sheriff Carlos McDermott will be joining us. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. This is the Russ Belville Show.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, in our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment, we're joined by Carlos McDermott, who's a former deputy sheriff from the great state of Ohio. Carlos, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Russ. How you doing?
All right. I'm doing fantastic. It's great to hear from you, and thank you for your service and for joining LEAP.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
we
appreciate it. We know that the cops and the guards and the prosecutors who make up the speakers for LEAP are some of the most effective speakers in reaching those people out there who disagree with our message. And boy, Carlos, I gotta hand it to you. You reached a group that I never thought would publish a pro-marijuana legalization message. Tell people the story of your op-ed and how it made it to the pages of DARE.
Well, I tell you what, that was just kind of in response to an anti-marijuana article that was in the Columbus Dispatch, and of course they contacted me and said, hey, can you write something in rebuttal to this? And of course I did, and I believe my headline was a little misleading. I think it was marijuana puts a kid at risk, and basically we're talking about being illegal puts them at risk. You have to go to a drug dealer basically to get marijuana, and it went on out of nowhere, overnight, and it seemed like I think it was on a Friday, I got a call, and they said, hey, 11 News outlets have picked this up. Basically, somebody from the Washington Post had seen where DARE had posted my article, and what had happened was the article got on there, they didn't read it. The people at DARE did not read the article and stuck it on there, thinking it was anti-marijuana, and it was for a pro-marijuana article, and somebody from the Washington Post seen it, one of the news people out there, and then the next thing you know, 11 News outlets picked it up, I think, by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. By 5 o'clock, it was all over the United States. It was pretty crazy. So,
Did you ever hear from the DARE people on this?
Hard, man. I mean, they did it, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever hear from the DARE people on this?
Not one thing.
They just kind of covered their tracks and pulled the article and didn't say much about it, did they?
No, not at all. So they could have made a mistake, and that was it. And basically, they just didn't read it and stuck it on there. So,
Well, congratulations on getting that published, though. It was it gave us all a laugh here in the reform community to see DARE. Probably like the scientific papers, they just don't read them. That's probably what's going on there. Now, Carlos, tell us about... I'm sorry, go ahead. You were saying... Okay, I was just going to ask, it says here that you got interested in law enforcement from watching the cop shows of the 1970s. I got to ask, Starsky and Hutch or Kojak?
Oh, shoot, any of those shows back in the day. I mean, Starsky and Hutch had the cool car. Kojak was cool, too. You know, Adam 12, all of those shows.
The Rockford Files.
And if you remember, always back in the 70s, I always showed all the drug addicts as junkies, and, you know, and that's how they referred to them. And,
uh-huh. So
yeah,
that
was kind of poked my interest in law enforcement.
Yeah, so you grow up like I did in the 70s, watching these cop shows. You become active in law enforcement, and so where did you serve, and in what positions did you serve, and how did reality differ from what you saw in the cop shows?
Well, I served Fairfield County Sheriff's Office for 11 years, worked 4 years on in the county jail, and 6 years on patrol. And 6 years on patrol, I did, you know, a little bit of drug interdiction here and there. Actually, me and my partner did. Kind of before they even had a drug interdiction unit, we were it on our own. Just, you know, and we kind of figured out. I came into jail, it was just an ever revolving door. You know, kids coming in, going through the probation process, and it was just, it seemed like all it did was keep them in jail, keep them locked in, you know, where they could never ever get ahead in life. And the court system is a complete failure at handling drug addiction. You know, it's a twofold issue in America when you talk law and drugs. First, you've got drug addiction, and on the second hand, you've got who's controlling the drug marketplace, which are your terrorists, your drug cartels, and your, you know, street gangs and opportunists. And as far as drug addiction goes, the only people who can help with drug addiction are family, clergy, educational system, and the medical system. Notice I didn't say one thing about criminal justice system, because they can't. Cops can't. Those are the only four entities that can help somebody with drug addiction.
Good point.
So, and, you know, you start doing this, and you go out, and you're just spinning your wheels. You know, we were on patrol doing this. It was just spinning our wheels and basically causing more harm than we were doing good. And that midway through there, I really started researching marijuana and, you know, finding out how medicinal it was. And, you know, one of the biggest articles I read at the time was a thing by Chris Bennett out of Canada, who wrote an article, Jesus Was a Stoner, that appeared in High Times magazine. Mm-hmm. And I went back and I kind of studied and seen where it was in the Bible, and it was all through all the different religions throughout the world. You know, Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, everything. You know, all these religions looked at marijuana as a gateway drug to God and healing the body. And that kind of turned my mind around. Then, you know, I kind of had these feelings, you know, hey, this whole system just doesn't work. And then I discovered LEAP, and hey, I want to be a LEAP speaker. And that kind of like kicked it off from there. So.
Wow, that's a great story. We're speaking with Carlos McDermott. He's a former deputy sheriff in the state of Ohio. And as you're speaking to people and trying to convince them that legalization is the way to go, do you find that they're starting to understand, that they're starting to separate drug problems from drug prohibition problems?
Oh, yeah. I think people are really starting to see it with the heroin problem we've got here in Ohio. And now methamphetamine is kind of taking over, too. And people saying that, you know, hey, you know, law enforcement can't handle this, you know, and what we're doing doesn't help anybody, actually kills more people in the long run. Mm-hmm. And the drug courts just don't work. And,
Were there ever situations in your police work where you found yourself busting someone that clearly did not deserve to be busted? And how did that affect you?
Oh, it was like every day. I mean, you'd run on kids and have to arrest them, you know, for like a heroin addict or whatnot. One night I had a kid died in front of me. It was a heroin overdose. And it was kind of crazy. Here, the mom was about a half hour getting home after we'd already sent the kid to the hospital. And he had expired, passed away. And we had to tell the mom, hey, you know, your son just passed away of a heroin overdose. And we're dealing with her grief. Meantime, the brother's sitting there on the scene. I got to turn around to arrest the brother because he's got a warrant. You know, and it's just, you know, you're double whammy a family right there, you know, on that one scene, you know. they constantly over and over arresting people for a drug problem, you know, they should be going to a drug rehabilitation and instead of a jail. You know, jail does nothing but just jam their lives up is all it does, basically. You know, and it puts them in a hole they can never really get out of. And, here's the main thing. A person's not going to quit doing drugs until they're ready to quit doing drugs. You know, it's just like an alcoholic. So why is the courts trying to force people, you know, to change their behaviors when they don't want to? You know, it's better to deal with them. And I've always told people, you know, the allotment programs are good. Portugal and Amsterdam, places like that, work a whole lot better and they save lives.
Yeah, well put. And Carlos, you've got an interesting situation going on in Ohio where this November you'll have the opportunity to end marijuana prohibition before the state of California even. That's pretty surprising, but the initiative is kind of flawed and a lot of people don't like the commercial aspect of it. What's your take on this Responsible Ohio Issue 3 amendment?
Well, the whole thing is kind of like a catch-22. Here you've got 10 businessmen that basically formed a group, investment group, to that sponsored this bill or this initiative, and the whole thing of it is they cut out all the other businessmen. Other people here in the state of Ohio just can't. No one, you know, me or you can't just go out and decide we want to have a grow op or a grow facility, and it's limited to just 10 grow sites here in the state, and that's it. And controlled by these 10 individual investors, and that's how they voted into this initiative. And they've left everybody else out. It's kind of a catch-22. Here you're going to have legalization happening, and at the same time, it's going to be controlled by 10 people, and you've left out all the other small businessmen here in Ohio that want to be a part of this. The other part of this is, that I personally don't like is, you know, they want to put a license on for you to go for plants at home. And you have a $50 license, and they go, well, that's no big deal, go get a license. Well, do you want to do that? You know, it's still illegal under federal law. Do you want to go open up and you're, you know, picture yourself out there that you're growing marijuana at your home and pay a license fee to grow basically a vegetable?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, what's next? Tomatoes and potatoes? So it's a catch-22. I mean, you know, it's good in one way, it's bad in another way. Here's the other part that Tim grows, like, how are they going to produce enough marijuana to, you know, supply the whole state? You know, are you going to shortchange the, you know, medical patient out there? That's the question. So are they going to get everything that they need? So it's really kind of a catch-22 right now.
Yeah, it's very difficult for a lot of people.
Dangerous if you do, dangerous if you don't.
Yeah, it's a... As I was saying, it's very difficult for a lot of people in the reform movement as they're facing now the first ever initiative that's been done as a business proposition rather than a civil rights thing. So it's interesting to get your take on that.
And here's the thing, just about every normal chapter here in the state hates it. You know, they're not supporting it.
Yeah.
Very few people in normal are supporting it.
And that puts those local chapters in conflict with the national organization, which has just recently endorsed it.
It just endorsed it here, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's put everybody in quite a bind.
Yeah, no kidding.
In a catch-22 situation. And it's sad because, you know, this is what people kind of waited on. Ohio is always the state that everybody looks to during the political elections and whatnot, and to see what we're going to do because we're such a conservative state. And now here we're faced with this. And if we pass here, then what's going to happen with the other states surrounding? Are they going to go to this same kind of system or... You know, who knows?
Yeah. Well, this is something we'll be paying attention to all year. Of course, this election going on in Ohio in a off year. That's the other thing that's strange about this, too. It's just taking place in a non-even congressional election year. We'll see how that turns out. Carlos McDermott is one of many speakers for Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can find out more about them at leap.cc, and they've got a speaker somewhere near you that will come out to your event and tell folks the truth about marijuana from law enforcement's perspective, and not just marijuana, all drugs. Carlos, thank you for joining us on the show and for all your perspective you've given us.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. And yep. And join us in another 2 weeks. We'll have another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition in our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. You can also find our previous interviews with LEAP speakers available on our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalRuss. All right, folks, stay tuned. We've got the anti-drug public service announcement of the day coming up, and then a radical rant. We've got new numbers from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health showing that, yes, the kids got the message about legalization. It's not the message the drug warriors thought they'd get, though. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Can I take your order?
Give me 15 cheeseburgers!
Come on! Can I take your order?
Can I take your number?
Can I take your order?
You got any eggs?
Can I take your order?
Man, I don't have any money.
I don't have any money.
All right, well, go.
Man, watch out!
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. 420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Well, folks, the National Survey on Drug Use and Health for 2014 has been released today. And while they haven't given us all the data yet, I do have some of the tables for the most interesting sets of data released from the survey today. And that would be the use of marijuana, cigarettes, and alcohol among people aged 12 to 17, people aged 18 to 25, and people aged 26 and older. Now, of this data is broken down from the year 2002 and is included in the tables that have been released with the report. I've tweeted links out to the sources earlier today, so if you follow me on Twitter, at Radical Russ, you can find out this data and peruse it for yourself. But remember how the prohibitionists told us that legalization of marijuana was going to lead to terrible, terrible outcomes for the kids. Namely, that they'd get the wrong message. They'd get the message that marijuana wasn't harmful, that it was okay to use, and thus teen use would go up. They'd have more access, there'd be legal stores, they'd be able to get their hands on weed. So taking a look at the numbers, we find that in 2002, the ages 12 to 17 who were using marijuana monthly, that is at least once per month, rated at 8.2% of the population. 8.2% of teenagers, 12 to 17, let's call them minor teenagers. 8.2% of them were using marijuana monthly. And of course, 2002 was before legalization took place in Colorado and Washington State, and for that matter, before the great expansion in medical marijuana dispensaries in Colorado, Washington State, or any of the other medical marijuana states. Now, from 2002 to 2008, monthly marijuana use by these minor teens declined or remained steady every year. 2002 to 2008 declined or remained steady. And then around 2008 to 2009, it went up to 7.4%. Now, keep in mind, 2002, it was 8.2%. And keep in mind that the 7.4% was less than 2002, 2003, and 2004's numbers. But 2009 is the year that prohibitionists like to point out was the year of the great dispensary expansion. That's when Colorado started regulating its medical marijuana dispensaries in earnest. It's when Oregon started to see a few dispensaries starting to crop up, although those really happened more around 2011. We also saw Michigan and its medical marijuana law passing and dispensaries coming into existence there. And so 2009 is pointed to by the prohibitionists as this high watermark, as this marquee milestone date when kids would get more access to marijuana thanks to the medical marijuana dispensaries. So what happened? Well, in 2010, it was still 7.4%. In 1 year, it didn't change. By 2011, it did go up to 7.9%. But the following year, 2012, 7.2%. 2013, after 1 year of legalization, not retail, they hadn't had stores yet, but after 1 year of legalization in Colorado and Washington, 7.1%. It actually declined a little. And then the latest numbers that we just received today from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health show that in the year 2014, after a year of recreational marijuana legalization in Washington and Colorado nationwide, 7.4% of minor teens are smoking pot monthly. The same 7.4% of minor teens that were smoking monthly in 2009 when the dispensaries kicked into gear. And still lower than the 8.2% from 2002. So the fears of the prohibitionists that legalized marijuana would indicate society was more tolerant of the herb and providing more access to adults, somehow that message didn't get through to the kids. Somehow they're still smoking pot about as much as they've always smoked pot. Now, where we have seen some changes, there was a great increase in ages 18 to 25. Using marijuana monthly. In 2002, that was 17.3%. In 2009, it was 18.2%. And today, it's 19.6%. Almost one out of five people between the ages of 18 and 25 are using marijuana monthly. Now, I know some critics might say, but Russ, the legal age for marijuana is 21. So some of those people are 18, 19, and 20 getting their hands on marijuana. And yeah, that's probably true. But as far as I'm concerned, if you can carry a rifle in the sand, you can put a joint in your hand. If you're old enough to vote for the man, you can put a joint in your hand. These people are 18 years old. They're of voting age. They can buy cigarettes legally. So I'm not too concerned that they're getting their hands on marijuana. And when we look at the age group 26 and older, this would be post-college years. In 2002, it was 4%. In 2009, it was 4.6%. And today, 6.6%, a full 1 percentage point jump from the year prior and a 2 percentage point jump since 2009. So it would seem that contrary to what the prohibitionists said, that if we provided access for adults to get marijuana legally, it didn't increase the access and use by the kids, but it did increase the access and use by the people it was designed for, the adults. Now, another set of data that I like taking a look at with respect to these National Survey on Drug Use and Health numbers for 2014 is the use of cigarettes. Now, you'll recall that we didn't do a single thing when it came to arresting any adults who use cigarettes. Instead, we had new laws that required carding and putting cigarettes behind the counter, and new laws that required funding of anti-tobacco educational campaigns. So the numbers there, in 2002, 12 to 17-year-olds, 13% of them were smoking monthly. That's one out of eight. One out of eight teenagers was smoking monthly in just 2002. By 2009, when all those dispensaries came online, it had dropped to 9%. And today, in 2014, the lowest monthly smoking figures ever recorded for minor teenagers, 4.9%. Less than 1 in 20 minor teenagers is smoking marijuana, smoking cigarettes monthly. Among 18 to 25, it's dropped from 40.8% to 28.4% since 2002. And even among adults 26 and older, from 25% to 21.5% since 2002. The use of cigarettes has plummeted. We didn't have to arrest a single adult to pull that off. And in the other category that I find interesting, it's the use of alcohol by the young people aged 12 to 17. In 2002, 17.6% were using alcohol monthly. That's one out of six, more than one out of six teenagers using alcohol monthly. By 2009, when all those dispensaries came into existence, it would drop to 14.8%. About one out of, 14 people? And then in 2014, it is down to the lowest recorded numbers in history. 11.5% of minor teens drinking on a monthly basis. One out of nine. Went from one out of six to one out of nine. And when we measure more harmful drinking patterns like binge drinking has dropped from 10.7% in 2002 to 6.1% in 2014. And heavy drinking, heavy continuous drinking, has dropped from 2.5% in 2002 amongst the minor teens to just 1% today. And all those numbers are the lowest recorded numbers in history. Alcohol use by ages 18 to 25 didn't really change much. Went from 60.5% to 59.6. Binge drinking, 40.9 to 37.7. And heavy drinking from 14.9 to 10.8. Down slightly, but among the adults alcohol is meant for, it's remained relatively steady. And among older adults, it's actually gone up a little. Age 26 plus has gone from 53.9 to 56.5% for drinking, 21.4 to 22.5 for binge drinking, and 5.9 to 6.0 for heavy drinking. It's any wonder that the prohibitionists aren't tearing their hair out, as marijuana legalization in two states has now provided us national numbers showing no major problems. The Washington State Healthy Youth Survey just came out and said no appreciable increases in Washington State. Colorado's had somewhat of an increase, but nothing that can't be explained by the national increase in marijuana use in this country. In fact, the state of Florida had a greater increase than Colorado did. How long can these prohibitionists continue when data from reality, actual legalized states, continues to prove them wrong? We'll be here proving them wrong every day at 3 p.m. Pacific here on 420radio.org. Stay tuned, live listeners. You get to hear Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio. If you're listening by podcast, you can still get your replay of Toker Talk Radio. Just go to 420radio.org/donate and become a regular monthly subscriber, and you'll get access to those on-demand Hour 2 programs. For everyone here at Rollo J Studios in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.